right. Hey, Mercy Hill at all of our locations. Hey, we're excited to have you guys here today. Hey, Northeast, High Point, Clifton, excited to have you guys. I want to give you all a little vision for the sermon today. I'm about to introduce these guys if you don't know them already. But hey, the sermon has got two parts today, okay? The first part is going to be all about introducing some awesome folks to you guys and some vision for what we're doing next year via a little interview and about a 10-minute long video, okay? I know we do normally 2-minute long videos. So when we get into the video, y'all can kind of settle in for a minute and get your popcorn out for just a minute, all right? So we'll do that, and then I'll come back, and I'll preach the whole application of the sermon after that. Hey, at all of our locations, will you give it up for our 2022 church planters, all right? Hey, guys, I want to introduce y'all to, this is Brody and Maddie and Jeremy and Julianne. You guys might know them from different campuses or from different serving opportunities that you've had. But we're going to talk to them and just kind of get to know them a little bit here. And some of y'all may already know some of this stuff, but this is the first time we've really introduced them kind of to the whole church. So Jeremy and Julianne, I'm going to start with you guys, and then we'll go to you guys because the video is about y'all this week. It was about y'all last week. So let's talk about where you guys are going, man. This is the first time they're hearing. You have been with the church literally from day one, helped plant Mercy Hill. Man, what is it like? Where are you going? Give us a little bit of y'all's story.
Yeah, so we're going to be going to Halifax, Nova Scotia. So that is in Canada. We've had several people are like, man, that's super random. It's not that random. Halifax, Nova Scotia is part of the Atlantic Canada. And Atlantic Canada is Newfoundland, New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, and Prince Edward Island. And that is where my mom is from. She's from Prince Edward Island. So I spent a lot of time up there as a kid. And I have a real affinity for that particular area. Man, it is an area that is both on the rise in terms of population. It's the fastest growing or second fastest growing city in all of Canada, but it also is steeply declining in its religious culture. And so one of the things that we've seen is where you have a steep increase in population and a steep decrease in religious climate is, that is a strategic place for church planting. And so that is where we're headed.
Yeah, Jeremy, tell us a little bit about there's kind of a cool backstory with some of our sending team identifying one of the college campuses up there and all that.
So, yeah, just to give you some context as far as what that religious climate looks like, you know, in 2015, the North Carolina Baptist Association, the state convention, did a study. They wanted to find out which was the most lost college campus in all of North America. You think about how many thousands of universities that represents all across North America. And they discovered that the most lost college campus in all of North America was St. Mary's, which is in downtown Halifax. And so Julianne and I just this last weekend had a chance to step foot on that campus and just to kind of see what that looks like and the job that we have ahead of us and the opportunity that we have ahead of us. My hope is that it goes from number one to off the list, you know, so.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, you guys, it's been so fun to be with y'all. Some of our personally, some of our best friends. Jeremy's been an accountability partner for me for years. You guys have taken Psalm 127 very literally with the quiverful, okay? So there's five kids in the Dagher household, okay? Julianne, maybe give us a little bit of how we can be praying for you guys. This is a big transition. These are church planters that are going out in 2022, okay? So they're in our residency right now. We're getting them ready to go out. But you guys, 8 or 9 months still here. How can we be praying for y'all's family?
Yeah, I think the logistics of moving a family of seven into another country, y'all can definitely be praying for just that logistical process, immigration, visas, all of that. You can be praying for a home for our family. The housing market is very similar up there, expensive and moves fast. And then pray for our kids and for, you know, for Jeremy and I as well, but for our kids specifically that they would have friends there waiting for them. We are leaving some of our, like Andrew just said, some of our closest friends here. And we know that God is going before us, and so we would ask that you pray for those relationships that will build both for friendship and just for sharing the gospel. Prepare the hearts of those people that are already there in Halifax.
All right. Well, hey, thank you guys so much for being here. This is kind of cool because Jeremy and Julianne represent. Now, we've sent a lot of missionaries. You guys know that. We have a big goal of sending 500 missionaries, sent 114 missionaries so far in the Mercy Hill deal. So we sent missionaries overseas, but we've never had a full like church planting team that was in another country. And so this is cool because you guys are sort of the first one of that. Now, this is really awesome too. You guys are also a first because you're planting in North Carolina. And this is our first church plant that we've been able to plant in North Carolina. Brody, Tell us a little bit about where you guys are going. We saw the video, but where you guys are going, why that's significant for us to plant, you know, a church in North Carolina.
Yeah, why Waynesville? The first real answer to that is it's not as cold as Canada. So that's why we're going there primarily. But one is my hometown. You guys saw that last week. It's my hometown. I have a lot of love and affinity for where I'm from. But also, it's just, it's so cool to think that a small town can be built to send. So cities are they're built to receive. And you can see the strategy in going to big cities. It's pretty obvious. But going to a small town, I think maybe half of my high school graduating class is gone. They're elsewhere. And if you could see that kind of captured for the kingdom, for Jesus, if you could see that, those people going out already equipped to live and to work for Jesus, how awesome would that be? So that's why Waynesville. That's why we're going there.
It's incredible. Maddie, I'm going to put you on the spot because I don't know if I told you I was going to ask this. But you mentioned something in the video last week that I think is really worth camping on, and that is this kind of idea of y'all are pouring into refugees and telling them, go take the gospel home. And then all of a sudden, it's like light bulb potentially for y'all. What was that like thinking about maybe home as a place that would be strategic for us?
Yeah, it was, definitely a process. We hadn't really considered going to plant in Waynesville. We always thought we might move there one day, maybe, you know, as retirees or something like that. But we worked with refugees overseas, and a lot of them are from closed countries that, you know, Christians can't get into, for one, but also just knowing that refugees know their own language and their own culture, and they know how to care for their own people the best. And something about that really just resonated with us, or especially with Brody, since that's where he's from. And we just began talking about that more and what that would look like for us to do something similar.
Yeah, well, we're so excited about that. And you guys, maybe not quite as far along with the Quiverful idea as the Daggers. But little Sienna, and then you have another one on the way. Maddie, how can we be praying for you guys as y'all are getting ready for this transition?
Yeah, I think definitely we have one coming in the next couple of weeks. So you guys can be praying for that transition for our family and for our almost two-year-old. That'll rock her world for sure. But not only that, you know, transition for our family, but just preparing for all the change, you know, that's to come. And you know, I can second a lot of the things that Julian was saying, but just that we can still prepare well, just in a very busy season with two very small children, that our hearts can still be prepared for another big transition that's coming for us and our family. You guys can be praying for that.
Man, thank you guys so much for being here. Church, at all of our locations, man, I cast a vision 4 years ago when we did the Together Initiative. And we said, hey, we need to raise the money because God is doing something. We have the opportunity to not just, participate in church planting through addition, meaning, man, we kind of get somebody from another church and we kind of put our sticker on them and they go out, which is fine. But we said, man, we feel like God wants to raise up people from within the house. And this represents number 3 and number 4 from right here in the house through your generosity, church. Let's praise God for them. Hey, thank you guys so much, right? We're going to be in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 today. You guys have heard me say this over the last 3 or 4 weeks in a row. You ready? Christian growth is simple, but that doesn't mean it's easy. I keep talking about that. I keep saying it in different ways because I'm trying to get us to see as a church that while the culture says there is no formula for spiritual growth, the Bible says there is absolutely a formula, a path for spiritual growth. I'm not saying it's the only things we ever need to do, but I am saying that if we will commit to gather groups, give, go, all right, we will be very far down the road. The current will take us down the stream of Christian maturity. You guys can throw that slide up there. Gather groups, give, go, all right? This is what we've been talking about, the Acts 2 flywheel. Our church has invested in this for 9 years, and the idea is that all four of these, listen, not 40, okay? All four of these are essential for our Christian growth, but the problem is, much like a merry-go-round, okay, you guys have seen these, right? They don't have them anymore in our germ-free, every injury is emotionally detrimental to a child world, okay, that we have now. But you've seen merry-go-rounds back in your old, elementary school or whatever. And what happens on the merry-go-round, all right? All the kids get on there, they push it as fast as they can, and the whole goal of the merry-go-round is to get it going so fast that you sling somebody off, right? That's kind of the idea. Well, I want you to get that in your mind just because, the goal of the flywheel is not to sling people off, but the problem is that's what ends up happening, okay? Because less people group than gather. And then what happens is less people end up giving than grouping, and sadly, even less people end up going than they do giving, all right? So as we go around, gather groups, give, go, a lot of times we end up seeing kind of less people. They don't make the turn, all right? The thing got going too fast, and they let go. What I'm trying to call us to in this series is say all four of these are so essential. Yes, for the mission. Pastor Jeremy is going to preach a sermon next week that talks about how all of these wrap together specifically for the mission of God. As you are growing, the church grows, the church plants churches, all that kind of stuff. But what we are going to see this week and what I've been trying to tell you is that they are essential for your spiritual growth, not just the growth of the church. If we want to grow, we cannot neglect going, all right? Here's the big idea of the sermon today. When we believe, we become witnesses. Here's the point. When we believe the gospel, we all become witnesses to the gospel. What is a witness? A witness sees something and they testify to something. And this is something that we all have a participation in. Man, God is going to call us today and he's going to say, hey, you are witnesses to the grace of God, to the gospel. Now go out and live as witnesses. And when we commit to go and to live as witnesses, yes, in our neighborhoods, maybe all the way to the nations, all right, it not only changes the world for the mission, but it absolutely changes us. And it changes our very heart. Too many churches, especially in the South, in the Southern fried religious South, too many churches are filled with people who surrender their call to be a witness to the church staff, the pastors of the church. And the way they think about it is, well, we're all here to kind of support you and your gifting as you do the ministry. Man, the Church of Jesus Christ was never set up to be that way. It was supposed to be a movement of all believers that go out and share the gospel and witness in all these different ways that the Spirit is empowering you to do, all right? Hey, if a church surrenders the mission to the pastors, you know what it becomes like? I don't know if you guys like football or whatever. It's football season again. All right, but I want you to think about, just get this in your mind. I want you to think about a football team. All the offense runs out on the field. Okay, the quarterback gets in the middle of the huddle, and the quarterback calls the play. Trips right, reverse, Z, whatever. Okay, he calls the play, and this is what happens. Instead of going to execute the play, the team looks at him in the huddle, and they say, man, you're super gifted at calling the plays. You're like the greatest play caller we've ever seen. I could just sit and listen to you play, call plays and watch you call plays, and you do great. Man, that was so awesome. They're slapping each other on the back. And then instead of saying hike and running the play, they just trot off the field and go sit down on the bleachers. That would be, it's like guys, no, the point of calling the play is that we'll run out on the field, right? The point of calling the play is that we will all take our assignment and go after it. And in doing it, we're part of the team. And in doing it, our heart is tied to God and his mission and the church. Guys, the pastors are called the equippers of the saints. Yes, the pastors call the plays in some ways, straight from Scripture, but, in terms of the way that we work it out here in Greensboro and High Point, all right? But, man, the church, you guys are the team. You guys are the soldiers. You guys are the witnesses. And if we can catch that, y'all, it not only changes our cities and changes the world around us, but it will change us as well. Let's dive in. Acts 1:8, all right? Here we go. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Some of you guys have heard this before. We're talking one verse today, all right? Some of y'all have heard this before. Much like I said last week, this is part of Jesus' greatest hits, okay? It's the one that gets printed up. It's the one that you've heard before, and it starts like this. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Let me give you a little bit of the context for what's going on. Jesus, in Acts 1, has gathered all his disciples. This is after the crucifixion. It's after the resurrection. He is about to ascend to heaven, okay? And he gathers up the team, and he's calling the play for them. Now, they're asking questions. When are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And when are things going to happen that we kind of think should happen? And he gets them all together, and he basically says, hey, guys, I'm charging you with a worldwide mission. You are to be the witnesses that go out and share the gospel with the world. But listen, and we titled this message this way, he's going to tell them, you are more than witnesses, you are Spirit-empowered witnesses. That's what it said. Look, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Guys, the thing that I want you to see today is this. The Spirit empowers every believer's, listen, every believer's witness. The Spirit is empowering it and breathing upon it. Now, when you say the Spirit's power, you can get into some stuff, okay? Man, the Spirit does a lot of things in our life. The Spirit helps us discern truth. The Spirit helps us remember Jesus. The Spirit convicts us of sin. The Spirit equips us with giftings that can play out in a lot of ways, some of them very supernatural ways, okay? There's a lot of things that the Spirit does. The thing that we're talking about today is that the Spirit empowers the witness of the believer, okay? So you can think about it like this. In the Old Testament, the Spirit would fall upon a certain person. In the New Testament, if you are a Christian, the Spirit is upon you. In the Old Testament, it would descend. He would descend on someone. In the New Testament, in the era that we live in, the Spirit of God lives in every single believer, and he empowers the witness of the believer. All right, so I want you to think about it. One pastor called it, man, we have a special power, okay? We have a Spirit power. I'm not talking military power. I'm not talking political power. Man, the Church of Jesus Christ has a special power, a spiritual power, that when we share the gospel, hearts of stone are penetrated and broken. And it may not happen every single time, okay? But what we know is that our confidence for the mission comes not from ourselves. It comes from the fact that we go in the power of the Holy Spirit who has empowered the life of the believer. Why do you think we can send missionaries to the hardest places on earth? It's because not because we have confidence in them. We have confidence in the Spirit's power. One of those people that we sent to the absolute ends of the earth is living in the Middle East right now. And he told a story to some of us just a couple of weeks ago about how he was in a coffee shop sharing the gospel with a Muslim unbeliever, and a local pastor, imam, okay, hears him and begins to yell and begins to argue and wants to engage. And calmly, the Spirit's power begins to come over this individual that was sent out from your very church, okay, right here from this church a year ago. And the Spirit comes all over him. And in calmness, he begins to ask questions and engage. And before you know it, this imam is contradicting himself. And everybody in the place is listening and hearing. And when the imam finally stormed out, the guy he was sharing the gospel with said, it was amazing to see how God was all over you. How some kind of way God had kept you calm through this whole thing. It's not our power. It's not military power, political power. It's a special power. It is the Spirit's power, all right? And this is how we have such confidence. You know, our college residents, man, they will go every single week, and they're walking on the college campuses, and they go out for evangelism. They literally walk up to people and ask them, can I talk to you about Jesus? Can I have a conversation with you about a relationship with Jesus Christ? And man, it doesn't always go this way, but praise God, over the last month, they've seen two people just absolutely broken down give their life to Christ right there. It is the Spirit's power. It is a special power. And this is what we have to go in. You know, we've got to realize, I think, together today, you know, that the Spirit's power in our life is something that we have got to tap into. A lot of us talk about Jesus all the time. And it's good to talk about Jesus. I like talking about Jesus. But you know what Jesus said in John 16:7, actually, for the believing church, is what he said is, hey, it's better that I leave so the Spirit come. I want you to think about that for a minute. It's better that I go away. Apparently, the Spirit inside of you has more power than Jesus beside you. Why is that? Because I want you to think about it. When Jesus was in this world, he was one man. We, the church, are millions strong. We are thousands strong right here in this city. I want you to think about it. If Jesus Christ were beside you, wouldn't ministry be incredible? If Jesus was the one that was doing ministry beside you, how awesome would it be? I mean, just think about all the things that he would be able to do, all right? Man, you're having a youth event or whatever, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, the pizza all runs out, and bam, Jesus just multiplies the pizza right there. It's like, boom, you know? I mean, you got somebody in your ministry, and man, they're having a hard time, they're sick or whatever, bam, he just heals them. You got a kid in your ministry that their dog just died, and he just, boom, resurrects the dog. You got a person in your ministry that's got, you know, a cat that just died, and Jesus, boom, he goes and gets a shovel and helps you bury the cat, okay? But you understand what I'm getting at, right? You understand. It's a very hard thing to think about. It'd be better that Jesus leave so that I would get the Spirit power, the special power. And yet that is exactly what Jesus told us. The Spirit power, it is special in our life. You do not run on your own, okay? You run in the power of the Spirit, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. This is the point. We are all, if you're a Christian, this is one of those sermons. If you're not a Christian, you're totally off the hook, okay? Now, I hope you can lean in and see that you're supposed to be about a greater mission and maybe see that your life, I think what the Bible says, is that it's supposed to be about way more than promotions and possessions or your kids getting straight A's or soccer games, okay? It's about way more than that. Maybe you can lean in and see that. This message is really for the church. If you are a Christian, you are a witness. What is a witness? A witness sees something and then they testify to something, right? Well, what have we seen? What are we witnesses of? Y'all were witnesses of the gospel. Man, Jesus came from heaven to earth. Jesus took on the flesh of a human, 100% man, 100% God. He walked in our shoes. He never sinned. And at the end of his life, he could have reaped the rewards of a life well lived before God. And instead, he took your place and my place on the cross. He sacrificed himself because of our sin. It wasn't his penalty he was taking. It was our penalty. And 3 days later, he, praise God, rose from the dead and calls us to walk with him in the newness of life through faith. What a witness is somebody who has seen that. Christian, if you're a believer, you have seen the grace of God, you have seen the gospel, and now you are to testify to the gospel. You are to testify to what God has done in your life and what he wants to do in the lives of others. Can I just say this here today, all right? This is the place where churches get bogged down, stagnant, okay? They stop moving. The church is supposed to be a movement. Many of them become monuments to past movements. And the way that that happens is when believers forsake the fact that they are the witness. And they begin to think about things like this. Well, the church will do the ministry, you know? The staff will do the ministry. And so here's what happens. Man, you don't want to know when a church begins to bog down and stagnate and not be effective in the community? It's when people say, well, we'll just drop the kids off at church and let the church disciple them, you know? It's when a Christian says, hey, I know I got lost friends at work, but maybe because Mercy Hill Communications team's awesome, they'll see a Facebook ad and maybe be intrigued by it, rather than me being the one to personally go to them and invite or witness. You know, a church begins to slow down and stagnate when people think to themselves, hey, I know we got missionaries in the Middle East and Peru and India and all these places, but we got people at the church, the staff, you know, they can go there and encourage them and pray for them and actually, you know, be the ones that stand shoulder to shoulder with them. You know, our missionaries in Malaysia, hey, the church will go over there and be the ones to encourage them and all that kind of stuff. This is when a church begins to slow down, finally stop, and actually begin to move backwards. And what I want to call us to do today, listen, praise God, you are a missional church. There are so many of you that grab onto this, and you know this is true of your life. You have been saved from a purpose, and you know what that is. But man, a lot of us at a place like this, because I know the numbers, and less group than gather, and less give than group, and less go than give. Man, you need to be galvanized and hopefully pushed a little bit here to just hear me. Listen, Jesus didn't die to create spectators. He died to create servants. Jesus didn't die to create watchers of gifted people who serve in kids ministry or lead a small group, you know, or elder at a church or go be missionaries. Man, he died to create workers, not watchers. Are you engaged? It's about your spiritual growth as much as anything else. Are you engaged? Ephesians 4:12. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. Okay? What did he give them to do? Did he give them the work of the ministry? No. My pastor, when I was in seminary, he used to say it like this. He said, man, when I entered the ministry, that's actually when I left the ministry. Why? Because the ministry's out there. The ministry's in neighborhoods and communities and schools and workplaces. And when I entered the ministry, I became an equipper of the saints who are out on the front lines doing the ministry. You think about Ephesians 4:12. It tells us the church isn't supposed to be an audience. The church is supposed to be an army. And so, I know many of you. I know so many. Man, I get on the boards of the local nonprofits in our whole community. I see the pictures of them, and I'm like, oh, I know them. I know them. I know them. I mean, praise God for these things. Man, so many of you have stepped up to say, hey, yeah, we're going to pray for evangelism and share the gospel when we bring a foster child into our house or adopt the child, you know, and that's going to be a ministry for our family. I mean, I could, you know, refugees and pregnancy care network, and man, I could talk about so many of you, man, the mission trips that we have taken. COVID kind of hit a pause on that, but we're about to get going again, and church planning and all that. So many of you are engaged. Hey, are we all engaged? I'm pushing for the day when it's like, man, nobody misses the turn. When the thing is not a merry-go-round where kids are falling off. But it's like, man, just as many gather, just as many groups gather, and just as many give as group, and just as many go in some meaningful way than do give. Because that's what growth is. Y'all, I think about what God has done, and I think about how this next section, look what it says. It says, you will receive power of the Holy Spirit. Look what it says. Witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God has given us a special influence in raising up leaders and sending them out. Man, and planting churches. Now, let me tell you this about Acts 1:8, okay? This whole idea of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, all right? Hey, it is a roadmap for the rest of the book of Acts, by the way. That's what happens in the book of Acts. It's like if you just kind of read through it, the gospel marches to these areas kind of in sequential order. What I want to call us to see is that while I think it's a roadmap for the book of Acts, it's a pretty good strategy for us that we would try to reach the triad. And then we would try to be super involved in reaching North Carolina. Hey, fill the tank weekend 2 weeks ago, over 1,600 baptisms in the state of North Carolina. I mean, God is doing something. Yes, God is doing something. There is a shaking that is going on, and we are very much on the front lines of trying to galvanize other churches even. So praise God for that. Hey, Triad, North Carolina, plant churches all over the U.S., you know, thinking about that next region, thinking about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, man, going all the way, Roanoke and Tampa. Hey, thinking about, you know, Samaria is not just sequentially the next place out. It's also a different type of people. Trying to think about planting churches for different types of people that are in our community or helping our churches become better at reaching different types of people and finally to the ends of the earth. Y'all, we sent out 12 missionaries over the last 18 months, adult missionaries from this church. We're about to plant a church in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Why? We take this stuff seriously. We should measure our success based on sending capacity, not just seating capacity. I love seating capacity, okay? You got to have seating capacity if you're going to fuel sending capacity. I mean, you got to be able to gather, group, give. You got to be able to get people in the stream if you're going to send. But man, we can't measure our success just by that. You know, the book of Acts ends. I'm going to go on. The book of Acts ends as a cliffhanger, by the way, okay? I don't know if you get all the way to the end of the book. It is a total cliffhanger where you're like, well, what happened next? I mean, you got these guys in jail and the movement was just kind of, man, getting going. And what happened? What happened? What happened? Y'all, we happened. The Church of Jesus Christ, the movement has gone for 2,000 years, can't stop, won't stop until Jesus returns. You are the next chapter in the book of Acts. You are the movement. That is all of us. It's not just pastors in different places. Y'all, it's every single Spirit-empowered believer. You are more than a witness. You are an empowered witness. And we got to go from the neighborhoods to the nations, all right? From families to the families of the earth. Man, from the workplace to the world, this is the call. So, hey, let me call you to do this, all right? Hey, let's grow by giving, grow by going, okay? Let's grow by going. I want you to engage. You know, Christian growth is not complicated. That does not mean that it's easy, but it's not complicated. Man, we talked about gather groups, give. Are we going? Are we serious about the mission? not just pastors and all of that, but man, every single one of us. Well, let me talk to two groups and I'm done, all right? Hey, the first group is this. Some of you are not going because you're not believers. And when I say go, what I really mean by that is just participating in the mission of God through Mercy Hill. That means sharing with people, you know, sharing your story with people, inviting people to church, jumping involved in ministries that you can share the gospel, going on a mission trip, being on a church planting team. All of that stuff is encompassed in going. Some of us aren't going because we're not yet believers. Listen, before you can go for others, you got to realize that Jesus came for you. You got to kind of realize, man, wait a minute. I was the ends of the earth. I was the mission field first. Are you realizing that today? Man, I pray that you will. He took the poverty of earth to give you the riches of heaven. Man, Jesus has come into your life to give you such purpose. There are so many people at Mercy Hill. This is the type of person that Mercy Hill attracts. Man, a lot of you are like, man, I'm coming around, but I'm kind of feeling like, man, I don't know. I don't know about all this. I'm kind of blah. And if I ask you about your life, this is what you'd say. Man, my family's fine, you know. My kids are fine. My work's fine. Finances are fine, I guess. We got a vacation planned in the summer or whatever. But something keeps nagging at you that you are made for more than possessions and promotions and new places. Something keeps grabbing you when you're raising your kids and you're thinking, man, there's got to be more than soccer and sports and scholarships and straight A's for them. You feel like there's more because there is more. You were created for a purpose. That purpose is to be on the greatest mission that's ever been in the history of the world. And what if one prayer changed everything in your life and gave you a place in heaven but filled you with purpose on this earth? Man, God wants that for you. And I pray that you would come forward, maybe talk to a prayer counselor, talk to somebody who brought you, email us in. All of our emails are on the website. I mean, get a hold of us some kind of way if God is moving in your life, all right? Hey, but believers today, man, it's not about realizing that God came for you, because you've already done that. You're a believer. It's about remembering that you are the mission and God came for you and being motivated. Man, Jesus came for us. Will we not go for him? All right? You are a witness, so be a witness. Somebody told somebody, told somebody who told somebody who told you. All right? Now, who will you tell? The gospel came to you on its way to somebody else. You know that, right? Like when it came to you, it was on its way to somebody else. And so I want to call you today, hey, grow in your faith by leaning into the mission. You are a witness, so let's be a witness. At Mercy Hill, the mission of God happens like this, all right? It happens in two phrases. At Mercy Hill, the strategy is, man, we teach people to come and see, and we teach people to go and tell. Come and see, go and tell. Come and see is very simple. Come and see is, hey, be an inviter. Man, we see this throughout the book of Acts. Most people, listen, that come to Christ, especially in the West, it happens by invitation. It happens by somebody saying, hey, I want to invite you in to hear somebody preach the gospel, to be around the Christian community. There's something attractive about that. The Spirit breaks through to your heart in that moment. So we say, hey, man, you can participate in the mission by saying to other people in your life, come and see. Now, I'm gonna give you an opportunity, all right? You can jot this down. You're gonna hear more about this. Hey, we're moving at Mercy Hill towards this kind of idea. Every single series, we wanna have at least 1 week that is really geared toward who's your one. Who's your one means, who is that person that you're praying for? Who is that person in your life, man, that you love so dearly that you want them to hear the gospel message, all right? And at least, man, you can bring it. We want you to bring them anytime, every time. And you know I'm going to preach the gospel every single time. We're going to say it in every single sermon. But at least one time, we kind of tell everybody, like, hey, this is the one, okay? I'm going to tell you when the next one is. November 21st, 2 months from now. 2 months from now, November 21st, we're going to be in a series in the book of Revelation. I feel like everybody thinks it's the end of the world, so let's talk about the end of the world, okay? We're going to be in Revelation. I'm going to preach about Jesus Christ, who is likened as the Son of Man, does his reaping, where he begins to gather from all the ends of the earth on November 21st, okay? So, hey, write it down. Hey, who can you begin to pray now might be with you then? But the second part of this is not just come and see, right? The second part of this is go and tell. And we could talk about this. We could talk about evangelism strategy. That just means sharing your faith. We could talk about no more spectators. Why do you think we do all this stuff with the care center and adoption ministry and refugee ministry? By the way, we're doing a refugee training for some of the stuff that's going on worldwide, November 13th. You guys can find that online if you're interested in that. We're going to do it right here at the regional campus, not just for our church, so spread the word, okay, if any other churches want to be involved in that. We could talk about all that stuff, But what I want to talk to you about is, man, will you go? Man, in the next 6 months, we have go teams that are on the ground every single month for the next 6 months. Man, it ranges from disaster relief, which is like manual labor, helping people put their lives back together, all the way to sharing the gospel with the very unreached, all the way to caring for kids of church plants that we have, okay? We got teams every month, 6 months, ready to go. You can find all that at mercyhillchurch.com/go. Man, I hope that you might think about, I will jump on one of these teams and go out. And hey, maybe some of you guys, God is pulling to these interest meetings that we have for these church plants, whether it be Waynesville or whether it be Halifax, Nova Scotia. I thought that was Russia the first time they said that. Okay, so it's Canada, all right? Wherever it is that God might be calling you, hey, get on a team. Put your yes on the table, go with a church plant, 2 years of your life. Man, there'll never be a greater investment of your time. Man, is God calling you? Hey, the last thing I'll say is this, is your yes on the table? Man, is it on the table or is it not? Have you pulled it off? You heard from Pastor Jeremy. Man, he had pulled it off. I'm not really interested in what God might do in terms of sending me out. And then the Spirit broke through and it was like, oh no, I'm putting it back on the table. Is your yes on the table? Is God calling you to something? Just take a step, okay? Man, decide this week, I'm going to invite somebody here on the 21st. I'm going to have somebody to invite in 2 months. Or think to yourself today, man, I'm going to take a step. Go and tell. I'm going to share my story with somebody. Even if it's just that simple. Man, go in the Spirit's power. You are more than a witness. You are a Spirit-empowered witness. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you would move on our church. God, let us be the witnesses that you have called us to be. It's hard for me not to just preach mission. God, it is for the mission. You're going to change this community and the world because we're here, Father, but it's also about our growth. God, we will never grow in Christ's likeness, in maturity. Father, we will never be able to grow up into being full grown if we are not willing to go. If we're not willing to share, Father, I pray that you will convict us of this and give us the opportunity to take a step in that direction. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.